Time now, 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome back. It's the KVON Morning Show for Wednesday, the 8th of August. Checking out the markets here as we get into our final hour of today's show. Things are still just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. The S&P and the NASDAQ are up small amounts. The Dow is off a small amount. No clear sense of direction on Wall Street so far today. Out on the highways, we've had another kind of typical summer day as far as the morning drive is concerned. A few scattered traffic hazards, non-injury accidents, nothing substantial. And right at the moment, there's really nothing working in the North Bay worth talking about. So we're going to call that all clear for Napa, Sonoma, and Solano counties at the moment. All clear is not the word for the conditions in the air. We have hazy conditions continuing today, and most likely you can expect that on through the weekend and into next week. Lots of haze from the wildfires, obviously. Beyond that, temperatures are moderate. Highs today going to range from 82 in the cooler parts of the valley up to about 93 in the warmer areas. Overnight lows in a 52 to 57 range over the next couple of days, and no significant changes in sight. We'll see some minor variations, a little warmer, then a little cooler, but nothing substantial happening in terms to change this pattern that we're in right now. Our current temperature, 57, with overcast at the Napa County Airport, and you are up to date on weather, traffic, and the markets at 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. And it is time now at 8:10 to turn our attention to the local political scene. We're continuing our candidate profile series today, and we welcome to the studio candidate for Napa City Council, James Hinton. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's begin, as we like to, with each candidate and give you a chance to introduce yourself and make some sort of an opening statement. The reasons why you're in the council race would be a good thing to ask about as well.
Well, I'm a lifelong resident here, 43 years old. I've been a regular attendee for the last about 5 years of city council meetings. I've attended more of these meetings than anybody else in our community. And I really feel our city council could be doing a much better job at representing the community. So I'm running for city council. I'm focused on cannabis. Cannabis has helped save my life. I use it for my psoriatic arthritis. It's been a blessing ever since I discovered it, and I'm 43 years old, and we still don't have access to this all-natural plant right now.
Is cannabis your number one topic?
No, but it's the top issue. What motivated me to run for this race is the city's and county's failure to properly regulate cannabis over the years. I'm really focused on what's going on with the Napa Civic Center. Have you been following that?
Mm-hmm.
So a couple years ago, Mary Luros and Peter Mott approved a deal to, it's a design, build, and review contract with Plenary, which means they design the building, they construct it, and then they maintain it for 30 years. And they made a deal to build a $46 million civic center, which would be a new city hall, parks and rec, police department, put all the city services on one block. And this project has now grown to $121 million. And the city council is continuing to push forward on it. And I'm nervous that it could financially compromise our city. I think we need to cancel the contract with Plenary and look at other options for this.
Okay, that's definitely one of the primary topics we've been asking all the candidates about. We might circle back to that one here in a few minutes.
I asked the mayor last night at the city council meeting if she has a developer yet for the private side of the project. That would be the hotel and the residential units. And she shook her head. They still 2 years, and they can't find anybody that wants to build a hotel in downtown Napa where the city hall is now. How come? They want to build a hotel on every single corner in downtown Napa, but what is so bad with where the city hall is right now? How come they can't get a developer?
Okay, there's probably a lot of information in the background there that's not part of the conversation right here.
Well, I think there's a lot people need to know about that. There are some some language in the contract that suggests that it's all going to have to be prevailing wages. And building it with prevailing wages, it's hard to get somebody that wants to build a hotel to go through that. And that's what the real problem is. And if the city allows them to build this without using prevailing wages, there's a state law that would allow the unions to come back and hold the city liable and sue the city to recover the differences between prevailing wages and what they receive while they construct it. So that's another, again, something that needs to be talked about the Civic Center, which isn't getting discussed right now. So there's a lot of things going on with the Civic Center. Recently, the city of Napa, they made a deal with the Carneros Inn to supply 33 to 43 acre feet of water per year for the next 50 years. 33 acre feet of water comes out to 10 million gallons. So this is 10 to maybe 13 million gallons of water per year for 50 years to the Carneros Inn. And the Carneros Inn is in the county. When they built it, many people like Eve Kahn were running around saying, "What are you doing? There's no water out here." Well, they built it anyways, and they're out of water. They've been getting it trucked in from the city for years. Now they're trying to build a pipeline, but they're asking for a lot of water after they built the pipeline. And Scott Sedgley voted against it, but the other four members of the council supported it. And so it needed 4/5 vote to move through, and it did. So now it's going to LAFCO. And deals like this, I think, are unsustainable. If we start cutting deals for every resort and every winery in the county, we're gonna run out of water one day. It's a finite resource. And I just really feel that our city council is asleep at the wheel, practically. They're just rubber stamping whatever comes across this desk right now, and it's bad.
Let's focus on what most citizens believe is the most significant issue we're facing today, and that's housing, affordability of housing, and as a subset, actual affordable housing as such. So in your platform, what would you do to address the housing problem we have in Napa?
Well, even our police are commuting into work because they can't even buy houses here on the salaries they receive. So we have something called Visit Napa Valley. And we have Measure F is coming on the ballot right now, which is going to be a 1% increase on the TOT for affordable housing and workforce housing projects. But right now, there's 2% that is going to a tourism improvement district. And this has evolved into basically a $10 million a year slush fund for Visit Napa Valley, which has very little to no oversight on it at all. Clay Gregory, who's running it, is making that we know of in 2016, he got a $264,000 salary with a $100,000 bonus on top of that. And nobody else in our city is making that kind of money. Our city manager, our police chief, our fire chief, nobody makes that kind of salary. I don't know what he did to earn a $100,000 bonus, but I think the city of Napa needs to stop this. They need to repeal the tourism improvement district and increase the TOT taxes to 14%, because right now tourists, they're paying it. When they check out, they sign the bill for the hotel with a 14% tax. They don't question it. They don't say, well, 12% is transient occupancy tax and 2% is tourism improvement district. They just see a 14% tax. They sign it and they go home. The city should take the whole 14%, and they can right now use 2% instead of 1% like they want to for these projects for affordable housing and so forth. And the city can do, they're starting to encourage junior accessory dwelling units and building little micro units in your backyard. So if the city can do more to remove sewer fees and water connection fees, which are extremely high in this city, if they can reduce the cost to build a lot of these small units, we're going to see an opportunity for workers to find affordable housing here. I also think there's some opportunities to build inside the city affordable housing projects. You know, you look at the old Sonoma Road project, and people are talking about 10% or 15%. Well, it should be a lot higher than 15%. It should be much higher. So we need to start really being a strong leader for making sure we get these affordable housing projects and workforce housing.
Mm-hmm. So if you had, let's assume that you got your wish and you had the money that goes to the Tourism Improvement District and you could apply that to housing solutions, what would those solutions be?
Well, I mean, they want to take the 1% now and work with the nonprofits involved in the housing and so forth. And I can't tell you which developer should be building all these and where they should go, but I think there are some... We could look around at the best practices and figure out what's the best way at what other cities have done to tackle this issue and try to build, for example, in Berkeley, they were doing micro units where they're stacking them up. And some people want to build tiny houses. I'm for apartments. I think we need to see something like a 500 square foot apartment for the working person who's single, who's got a job at a hotel or got a job downtown at a restaurant or up valley, pouring wine or whatever. You know, I'm single. I don't need a 2,000 square foot, a 4-bedroom home with a 3-car garage at Silverado Country Club or anything. I would love a small apartment where it was dog friendly for me and my dog. And I think we need more units like that.
So you would... use that funding to subsidize private developers, or you would use that funding
well, we
how?
Could use the funding to reduce the fees to build the stuff. Like I said, we have extremely large sewer and water connection fees for all this, anything we do build. And the more fees you have, the harder it is to make it affordable at the end of the day. So some of the money needs to go towards making sure we can reduce those water connection fees, making sure we can subsidize those sewer connection fees to make sure we can get the cost down to really build these projects.
We're talking with James Hinton. It's our candidate profile series, and we're meeting James here for the first time, as we have done with all of the other council candidates leading up to the election in November. Why are there so many candidates in this race this time around?
Well, that's a great question. I guess because there's a seat open with Juliana Inman leaving, they feel like there's a real opportunity. It seems like when you have a race where the incumbents are running for re-election, nobody really feels they can ever beat an incumbent, and they don't really pursue the seats. So with Juliana Inman out, I think there's just a lot more people who see this as an opportunity to get in. When Alfredo Pedroza was appointed to the Board of Supervisors by Governor Jerry Brown in around January of 2015, the city council had a meeting to appoint somebody to fill his seat, and they had 19 applicants. And they did a special meeting on Saturday where they appointed Mary Luros. I was there in the interview. Doris Gentry was in the interview. Bernie Narvaez was in the interview. Mary Luros was in the interview. Obviously, she got it. But there was 19 people that applied to fill Pedroza's seat. And then when Mary's seat came open, Doris Gentry was the only one that challenged her. And she beat her pretty good, I think. She ran a decent campaign and worked, I think, harder to win the seat than Mary, and she ended up getting the seat. And so now Mary's back in the race again, and she wants to back in. And then you have Bernie Narvaez, Ricky Hurtado, and Liz Alizio. So, you know, Ricky's been the president of the Democratic Club, and he's been around this for a while, and everybody sees this coming, and they've expected Ricky to do this. But Liz, I'm not sure. I don't know much about Liz. And then Bernie, I've known for quite a while. When I ran against Mike Thompson a few years ago, he befriended me, and I got to know Bernie a little bit. And I encouraged him to get involved. I said, we need more people to run for office. We need more people on the school board and so forth. And now he's in this city council race, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Let's circle back for a moment to some of your comments about to visit Napa Valley. And you use the term slush fund when you describe the revenue that comes in through the TOT, the portion of the TOT that goes to visit Napa Valley. The term slush fund is a loaded term, and it suggests that something illegal is going on. Do you think there's something illegal going on with Visit Napa Valley?
I brought a lot of paperwork here. I've been doing a lot of research, and I've been filing California Records Act requests. And I had trouble at first getting them filled. Clay Gregory kept replying and his staff saying, we're not privy to it. And I said, yeah, you are. You're a nonprofit. And I'd have to explain the rules. And I kept sending it back and asking for accountability. And so I tagged in somebody from the district attorney's office, somebody from the county's office, the mayor, Diane Dillon, everybody that's on the board that I knew, their email. And then I think I had someone from the sheriff's department or the police department in there too. And I kept asking for it. So I kept getting it piecemealed. Well, here's some of it, here's some of it, here's some of it. But if you look at the district plan, which I brought in, it has an outline. It says the total annual budget is not to exceed $6.5 million per year. And this was the one. So let me start you off here for people that are listening. Visit Napa Valley and the Tourism Improvement District was established in 2010 by the Board of Supervisors when back in was Mark Luce, Bill Dodd, Keith Caldwell, Diane Dillon, and Brad Wagenknecht. And it was a five-year deal. They had two plans to choose from. They picked it. They went with a five-year deal, which is what they could, the only thing they could do. And then when the deal ended in 5 years, in 2014, they did a 10-year extension, which was they couldn't do 12 years, they couldn't do eight. It's written to do a 10-year extension. And so they did a 10-year extension, and here is the management plan. And so it says that valley-wide sales and marketing will use 55.5%, individual destination marketing 25%, and then administration 12.5%, which for $6.5 million would equate to $812,500. But if you look at their, for example, their 2016 tax returns, they're spending like $2.5 million on administration instead of 800,000. And you got the leader of the organization, like I said, he's making more than anybody else in town. And so here's a little thing they have. This is one of their, this is their staff, as you can't see on the radio, but
it's an organization chart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, everybody on this chart is making police salary scales. So our police department has trouble competing with houses with these. But anyways, let's look at some of the trips this year. July 7th to 15, UK, Ireland. August 22nd to 23rd, this is 2017, they went to Toronto. They also went to Las Vegas in August and New Orleans. They went back to New Orleans in September. In October, they went to Canada, to New York. Nothing in November. In December, they went to France, Chicago, and Costa Rica. This year, January, they went to Tennessee and Salt Lake City, and that's something I don't wish on anybody right now. So Clay probably earned his money on those trips. They also went to Australia and New Zealand. They went to New York, and they had a luncheon in China. In February, they went to Anaheim. In March, they went to Monterey. In April, they went back to China. They went to San Francisco. In May, they went to Las Vegas and Hawaii. And in June, back to Las Vegas. And they're traveling first class the whole way. They fly first class. They stay first class. And this all comes out of the money that's being assessed by, they say it's a self-assessed tax. And it's not. That the hotel is not sending a portion of their gross receipts over to Clay Gregory.
But the hotels agreed to the assessment. That's the point of saying it's a self-assessed tax.
Well, some of the hotel owners agreed to tax themselves, and that goes to all the owners. So there are some people who own hotels that don't like this tax at all. And so the people who stay there are paying the tax, and it's 2% when they check out on top of the bill. And the county, Bello Ramos, says they don't have any choice. They're just a conduit. And it's basically set up. I mean, it's the greatest. I mean, Clay Gregory's got the sweetest job. I mean, he doesn't have to rob a bank or nothing. The money just comes to him. And there's no accountability. Nobody's looking to see when he spent $1 million so Napa can be known as the official wine region of the America's Cup. How many people do you think watch the America's Cup?
I don't have any figures on hand, but I think I don't do that work, but what I understand about it is you need to target people who are in the market for the wines of the price level that we sell,
and the
hotels at the price level we sell. So the question is,
if we spent $1 million on affordable housing back in 2012 instead of the America's Cup, think about how many people wouldn't have had to commute. How many? I mean, we could have built probably 5 units at $200,000 each back in 2012, and had 5 more people with live in close proximity to work.
Let me challenge your assumptions a little bit here. The fact that we have this rapidly increasing transient occupancy tax revenue, a lot of people would point to the fact that the marketing that Visit Napa Valley has done over this last 8-year period has increased occupancy, which keeps rates up, which brings in more money to the cities and the county. So there's a reason for marketing tourism, because it circles around and benefits providing local services. You talked about police departments not being able to, or police officers not being able to afford to live here. Those salaries are significant salaries for people in that sector, and you have to find some revenue to pay those, right?
Correct. So, like, I went to a meeting up in St. Helena at the Vintners about 2 months ago, and this was the Napa County Tourism Improvement District, whatever, and it was Alfredo Pedroza, Molly Radigan, and some hotel owners. And so they were voting on their budget or whatever, and there was Visit Napa Valley was asking the county for more money, for more funds. So the county, they get their money from, like, say, the Carneros Inn, Meadowbrook. You're staying out there, you're paying into the county's TOT and TID. So they take 1%, they keep in-house of the TID for accounting. 74% goes to Visit Napa Valley. The other 25% is up to this board. So Visit Napa Valley was asking for more money because they wanted to fulfill these marketing requests. So they could have the New Yorker for, it was like $160,000 or $170,000 or $180,000 in there. This was the cost. And they were going to write some fictional goodwill article about Napa Valley. And so I guess they think if we give them $180,000 to write a fictional article about, oh, I went to Napa and I had a great time, that somehow this is why everybody's coming to Napa maybe or whatever. But I think when you look at, like, let's look at downtown Napa. There's been some developers who have made Napa a really nice place to come, whether it's, you know, cleaning up the parking lots, painting the buildings. Look at Stone Brewery. Have you been to Stone Brewery?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a beautiful building that was preserved, and now it's a great place to go. Look at some of the other buildings that they've done downtown. And when you look at some of the work some of the developers have done to make Napa a nice place to visit, this isn't like a bunch of cookie cutters, strip mall, whatever, okay? They have some nice hotels. They have, it's not the Motel 6 and the Days Inn. It's the Archer. It's the Andaz. You have all these other buildings that are being done nicely downtown. And it is a nice place. And it's not... And people know that, okay? In the 70s, Napa went on the map when they won the awards for their wine. I mean, acting like all the people coming here is because of Visit Napa Valley is like giving the credit to the rooster for the sun coming up this morning. Sure, the rooster was there and it crowed, but the rooster had very little to do with the sun coming up, okay? And that's, I think, what Visit Napa Valley's doing. They're sitting here taking credit for all the tourism. Show me. I'm looking at their money. They give Clay Gregory $500,000. They're paying all these other people these high salaries. I don't know what they're doing. One of them is this person here. It says they are, this is on the, what did you call it? The structure, organizational structure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the collateral coordinator is?
A collateral refers to typically printed materials, flyers and brochures,
stock,
and things like
that. Stocking the brochures. This person stocks the brochures, the collateral coordinator. So, I mean, we have people who are getting paid high salaries to stock brochures, and then you're getting the New York Magazine, an architect magazine. I think it was maybe the New York Times might have been one of them, but there were 4 of them. that they were selecting for these marketing pieces. And I just think that when you look at the numbers and you look at how much money are they spending for all this, I just think that there's a lot of other ways. If they did want to do marketing, even if they were trying to do marketing, why is Clay Gregory flying to Costa Rica for these events? And I mean, how does that increase marketing? Do you ever meet people from Costa Rica out here?
Honestly, I have.
I've seen a few
That's
people,
kind of not the point.
But they kind of live in both. I went to Costa Rica in 2016 in November for 2 weeks. It's a beautiful country. There's a lot of tourism down there, and they don't have any pesticides. They have this, they preserve the rainforest there because they feel having the natural beauty is what brings the tourist and so forth. And they have agriculture. I mean, you can go buy fruits from there that are amazing.
I've heard it's a wonderful place. I'd like to visit it someday. Do you think Costa Rica has a tourism board? Do they do any marketing of tourism to Costa Rica?
That I'm not sure about. But the people who live in Costa Rica can't afford an Andaz hotel room. The people of Costa Rica cannot afford to come here.
Most
and
people
eat.
Who live in Napa can't afford it.
Exactly. So, you know,
that's
just
the way of the world.
So, I understand why you might market in China and France. Some of these other places he selects to go and so forth. I don't know if it's just personal, whatever, but I'm just saying overall, none of the elected officials in town are willing to take this guy on. When you try to talk to Diane Dillon or Jill Teckel and you ask them questions, this is a nonprofit, there's supposed to be an open book. It's the, you know, and so this is a tax district. And so why are the electeds, why don't they want to talk about it? When you say, hey, Jill, like I asked Diane Dillon, she had a debate against Seal Perez when she was running this year. During the debate, it was a League of Women Voters debate. They took audience questions. I raised my hand. They called on me, and I asked her, I said, how much does Clay Gregory make? She couldn't answer it. And she's been on the board since 2010. She's rubber stamping everything that comes out here. And I just think it's wrong. Just allowing them to take $10 million at the checkout stand from our tourists and look the other way while people are just running around celebrating in the finest places. It just, that's, you know, if the Archer Hotel wants to take a portion of their proceeds and send it to Clay Gregory to market, go ahead. But the city of Napa and the county of Napa should not be involved.
Let me pose this question to you. You have been interested in and an advocate for access to cannabis, right? That's been one of your issues over a period of time. Does that interest in that that particular issue lead you to meet with other people from the cannabis business? Do you ever go to other dispensaries or other facilities to find out more about that
industry? I work as a cannabis consultant, and I've helped a lot of people get permits in other places.
Right. So a certain amount of travel to specific locations based around that work is part of what you do. Henceforth, somebody who works in tourism, it's a travel business,
but
so they
the,
travel to other places
this,
and they meet with each other and they talk about tourism practices and what kind of marketing, what works for you, associations, people in every industry do that, right?
And the city of Napa and the taxpayers do not pay my travel expenses. If I'm going
to go to
Davis.
Correct, but the taxpayers are not paying the TOT.
Who's paying the TID?
The residents of the people staying in the hotels
during the fire,
pay the TID and the TOT.
What happened during the fire?
Well, that's a tiny, tiny percentage.
They were still paid. They were
anomaly.
Still charged for tourism improvement district marketing.
Of course they are, because that's the law. But that's a tiny percentage. The hotels are not full of refugees from fires on a year-round basis. That was a one-time incident. My point being that the funding was created for a specific purpose, and most elected people will try to draw a nexus between a taxation and a use of the tax, right? Like gas tax goes for highways, that nexus between how money's used. So applying additional cost for a tourist to a tourist, putting a tourist tax on, essentially a hotel tax, that's then used to promote tourism, made sense to a lot of people in 2010 this was created.
That'd be like having a road tax to use marketing to tell you to drive your car, you know, like, you know, we want to use a tax to fix our roads, not to run TV commercials to drive our car. And so when you have a tax that provides, let's say you want to tax and take the money to use it for capital improvement on our park so that Napa is a better place to visit, great. That improves, you know, if they take the money and they put it towards the Vine Trail, Because what Visit Napa Valley was doing that one day in the county, the county was planning on giving all their leftover money to the Vine Trail, like a half a million or whatever, to help finish that out. And that's something all of us locals can use. I know a lot of people, locals, who use it. So I'm for that. But when they said, no, let's not do the Vine Train, we have to fulfill these marketing goals. And Clay needs to have his $100,000 bonus. And this person, and this person, and this person. I'm okay with taxing people for infrastructure, real stuff. I'm not okay with marketing. Marketing should be done in the private sector. And it might have seemed like a good thing in 2010. Like I said, Mark Luce, Keith Caldwell, and Bill Dodd, back then, maybe it was the best thing to do. But right now, it's out of control. And our tourism is going because of a lot of other things. It's not because of the Rooster. It's not because of Clay Gregory. And so I just feel that it's wrong. And it might have been good in 2010, but let's have an audit at least. Let's have the County Board of Supervisors really ask questions and really take a look at the books.
Mm-hmm. Someone listening to you talking as a city council candidate might say that you seem very interested in the county's legislation, the county's actions, when you don't have any control over that as a council member.
Well, I think right now there's a big problem. I go to all the Board of Supervisors meetings. I ran against Mark Luce and Ryan Gregory last year, or 2016, and on a very small budget campaign. I didn't ask anybody for any money. I just wanted to see what happens on a grassroots style. And I learned. So the county and city need to work together. You know, look at the old Sonoma Road property. They hate each other. And, you know, we need to start working together on stuff. And taking down, maybe Visit Napa Valley would be a great way to start. But $3.5 million of that 10 million are coming from the city of Napa. And if the county wants to send it, let them send it. But the city of Napa should cut it off and capture that $3.5 million for the mayor and our electeds for them. Because they're elected. They have budget meetings. Public can attend those budget meetings and influence the decisions they make. That's not the case at Visit Napa Valley. It's Clay Gregory's show, and that's what's going on. And so I think it's important that the county and the city work together. We need to figure out something to protect our watershed. And they're supposedly involved in a joint study to collect a bunch of data there. They recently did a roundtable about cannabis. And the city of Napa has been doing the best at taking forth with the leadership that came out of that, you know. They were the first ones that protected our right to grow sun-grown cannabis in our backyard, 6 plants, and now the county has finally adopted the same thing. But, you know, this is a city-county issue, this tourism improvement district. Jill Teckel is on the board of it for a reason. It is a city issue. Mm-hmm.
And we should point out, you've made some references to describing the situation as if there's no oversight, but in fact there is an elected official's body that oversees the corporation
who is the elected
creates
official?
The structure. It's a group, all the mayors serve on that board.
So you have Chris Canning, you have, I believe it's not Leon Garcia, I believe it's Mark Joseph out of American Canyon. Diane Dillon. Well, you have the Napa. There's the tourism.
I guess the point is, we don't need to go into that. I need to take a break here. But the point is, there is a board of elected people that oversee the tourism.
There's three boards. Mm-hmm. You have the Napa Tourism Corporation. You have Visit Napa Valley. You have Flavor Napa Valley. Clay Gregory is on all three boards. He's on the board of directors for all three of these honeypots. And they keep moving the money from, it's like
so a... I want to circle back. You're going into more detail than we need. Circling back to the question, do you think something illegal is going on?
I think that...
Because you're attacking one particular individual. You've used the term honeypot, and earlier used the term slush fund.
I would say they're violating...
So you're suggesting that something is illegal.
I would say they're violating this.
The Visit Napa Valley management plan.
Yes.
You say they're not operating under their plan.
They're not following what the electeds, this is the budget. They're not following it. They're out of compliance with the budget that goes along with the resolution that allows them to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody is willing. Like I said, it was very hard for here. These are all some of the papers I've been grabbing. If you want to look at some of this stuff here and take a look at some of their salaries and their bonuses and how they've been spending this money and see if it matches this. Because if it doesn't match this, I think there's a problem. I don't know if illegal is the right word. I'm not trying to say let's have people get arrested or anything. I'm just saying let's take a close look at this. Why are all the elected officials... Okay, first of all, Alfredo Pedroza, he went up to somebody on Valentine's Day. And he tells this person who's well-known downtown, he says, you better call your dog off, otherwise you're going to have problems downtown. And they're all, huh? And Alfredo was tired of me running around asking questions about Visit Napa Valley at the Board of Supervisors. And so he starts talking to people like this. Why is Alfredo Pedroza telling people, calling me a dog? And then why is he asking people from downtown Napa, thinking that you see strings on me or anything? I mean, that they're going to call me off. So why are the elected officials reacting to my questions this way? If everything is legal, when I say, okay, can I please see your 990 form? Why don't they just send it? Why did the county of Napa, when I was asking these questions, send a bunch of people over to my house to interrogate my family? I don't want to get into that, but because we don't have time right now and we'll just throw people off. But the reaction by the county and all the electeds on the board is, I just ask questions. I'm just asking questions. Do you feel using $1 million to sponsor the America's Cup was a good thing? Just asking these questions. Do you feel what did Clay Gregory do to earn a $100,000 bonus each time? Asking these questions, they don't say, you know what? Well, they did this, this, and this, and I'm thinking he's doing a good job. They ignore it. And they come after me in other ways. So why are they reacting like this, Barry, if everything's on the up and up?
Those are not questions that I am capable of answering. We'd have to have those individuals here, and we probably will down the road, and we'll ask those questions when the opportunity comes up.
We've got two microphones. We should get me and Clay in here for a double show. And it could be like you could be the moderator and have a friendly discussion about what's going on. And we could share some ideas about how we really could promote, if that's what you want to do, if you really think we need more people here, if you think our infrastructure can handle more people right now, well, let's have that conversation. But right now, the way the money is being spent is wrong. And the city of Napa should repeal it, the county of Napa, they should repeal it, and they should replace it with more TOT. And they should use that TOT for parks, roads, and all that kind of stuff. And if
as a comparison, just to keep the conversation going, city of San Francisco, as an example, has a very similar situation. They use portion of, and I'm not just the city of San Francisco, most cities that are interested in tourism have some portion of bed tax, hotel tax, that or something like it, that goes to this kind of purpose, some kind of marketing for additional tourism, conferences, visitors bureaus, visitors centers. There's many different names for them. San Francisco is one of the most crowded places you can find. It's more crowded than Napa, believe it or not. Do you think they're making a mistake when they market San Francisco as a destination?
I don't know enough about San Francisco to really comment on San Francisco. I'm running for the city council.
It's a general concept.
So let's look at Sonoma, our neighbors. The editorial board recently wrote a letter telling the Sonoma City Council, what are you crazy for extending this 10-year tourism improvement district? In San Diego, I forget his last name. There's a guy down there named Frank taking on the tourism improvement district. And I think they got rid of it. I'm not sure. It's kind of hard to follow. But there is a lot of outrage in California over this. Cecilia Aguiar Curry recently held a meeting at a coffee shop downtown. And she says to the crowd, do you know what there's a way to set up a district for a healthcare district. Do you know what a healthcare district is? And I said, yeah, I know, And she says, well, there's a lot of problems with these healthcare districts. I'm auditing them right now because I'm on the local governance committee. I'm the chair. And these people are doing bad things with your money. But Napa doesn't have one of these. And I said, you know, well, do you know what a tourism improvement district is? And she said, no. I said, do you know what a business improvement district is? And she said, yes. And so I explained to her a little bit about Visit Napa Valley. And I asked her to consider doing an audit. If she's auditing the healthcare districts, maybe she can, when she's done, apply an audit to these business improvement districts. In this case, it's a tourism improvement district. And like I said, it could have been a good idea in 2010. And Keith Caldwell and Mark Luce and Bill Dodd might have had the best intentions. And it might, I wasn't at the meeting. But nowadays, it's wrong. And there's a lot of us.
Let me ask you also this. You've mentioned audits a couple times. Do you have access to information that says Visit Napa Valley has never been audited or is not audited on a regular basis?
Well,
the reason I ask that is all governmental organizations and most nonprofits that have a government connection are required to perform an audit on an annual basis, Scott, or semi-annual basis.
Scott Sedgley, about 6 weeks ago, when they were talking about this, putting on the tax, he said that, you know, he did hear that there were some wine junkets and this and that, and he used some terms, and he said, you know, if people are asking questions and they're not being answered, I think maybe we should do an audit. And Jill said, the mayor says, well, I'll get you whatever information you want, Scott. And it kind of left off as there. But Scott Sedgley has asked for an audit. So, I've asked for an audit at these board of supervisors. And like I said, instead of them saying, oh, James, here's an audit. Here, we did an audit. Let me sit down. And the county executive officer, he sat down with me for an hour with the council and somebody else. And we went over this. And he does not say they're illegal. He just says, listen, James, this is the law. This is what they're doing. He's not defending them. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are not defending Visit Napa Valley. Just so you know that. You seem to, because I'm getting a feeling from you that you feel like there's a lot of people that are defending this organization, and there's not. There's only a few mayors and electeds that are defending it in the whole county.
Okay, so that's a broad anecdotal statement that doesn't have any basis in fact, James, and that's what I'm trying to stay focused on. What is the basis in fact of what you're accusing people of? When you use the terms like slush fund and use the terms honeypot, you're actually making a thinly veiled accusation that something illegal is happening. And if you're accusing people of doing something illegal, you should provide some proof of that, because it's slanderous otherwise. That's my point.
Well, we have asked Clay Gregory for many reports that he's subject to, and he's not transparent. And what he has shows us that he's out of compliance with the management plan.
Yeah.
And he's out of compliance in a way that he pays himself $500,000 a year or so.
He
doesn't want to show us the books.
I'm not privy to any of the payroll information or the bonus or what his contract is, but the point is that there are elected people who are supervising the way this is operating.
There are elected.
So you're attacking somebody who's hired by, essentially employed by, indirectly, the elected officials. Why not attack the elected officials instead of the person who's hired to do the job?
I have been going after Diane Dillon and Jill Teckel, asking them these questions for some time.
And you've made Freedom of Information Act requests.
And they say ask Clay, and then Clay stonewalls me.
Okay.
So there's a whole game being played by everybody. And if they have audits, if you have audits, if you can show me how much all these plane tickets cost for all these trips to China and all of this, and if you can explain to me, just show me the money. Show me how many people from the America's Cup came here and ate a donut or took a nap. Show me how that $1 million that we spent in 2012 for the America's Cup came back. Like, you don't think the people watching the America's Cup know about Napa Valley already? It just seems weird. There's getting rid of this tourism improvement district and replacing it with TOT, building parks and housing for the troops right now would be so much better than for the next 5 years sending Clay Gregory to China, Costa Rica, and all these places so that he can come back and write a bribe to the New Yorker for $170,000 for a fictional Goodwill story about the Napa. It's just, we can do so much more. And that's why I'm running for council, because I will not rubber stamp these budgets. I will look at the budgets. I will look at the numbers, and I will ask questions and demand accountability. I'm running on fiscal responsibility, and looking the other way while they spend the money like this is not fiscally responsible.
We're just about out of time. It's our candidate profile with James Hinton, who's candidate for Napa City Council. I did want to spend a couple of minutes on the upcoming general plan update. That process is going to commence very soon. It's very important for long-range planning in the city. What would your priorities be when the general plan update for the city begins?
Well, there's a lot of issues there. And yesterday, during the afternoon session, the city council put together like an outline for drafting the citizens to participate in the general planning. And so I believe you're going to have until sometime in mid-September or early September to apply to be on this, and they should start meeting probably in October or November to discuss the general plan. And like we recently saw the Napa Oaks development, and if you watch that, Kevin Teague was suggesting that, you know, we need to really take a look at this general plan and change it. And so you're going to know that there's going to be a lot of people are going to try to get on that, that are looking at housing on that Napa Oaks project to get on there. Now, I want to make sure that we do the zoning for cannabis correctly. That's one issue there. I really feel that it should be included in our downtown, that high-end cannabis dispensaries, lounges, and spas would really complement our high-end hotels, restaurants, and tasting rooms. And the fact that there's no schools downtown and there's not a lot of kid activities, and it's right next to our wonderful police department, which we have a top-notch police department, one of the most popular among citizens around. And, you know, this would be a great location to zone it, is for downtown. You know, we're going to need to see more housing in the downtown. We need to be building up and having apartments downtown so that people who are working downtown can live downtown. We need to attract grocery stores into the downtown area. You know, we have lost a lot of grocery stores recently, from all the Valergus is going out. We lost a Safeway, and that people in South Napa really don't have that much shopping when it comes to in the downtown area. So they need to do something to attract these grocery stores. You know, it seems like everybody coming to, you know, you want to open a wine bar downtown, there's a, you know, it's just wine bar, wine bar, wine bar. They have no trouble attracting hotels and wine bars downtown. We got to do something to make sure, you know, the Napa downtown, if you don't get a restaurant, excuse me, a grocery store and a pharmacy and some cannabis dispensaries and et cetera, you know, you want to build a downtown that it has everything, so that in the future, when people come to Napa downtown, you know, everything's right there for them. And so in the general plan and all this that we're going to be doing, we need to look at all this and really try to design, not just because right now, I don't know what they're trying to design. But it seems like it's first come, first serve for the wine industry. Everything is. And again, I'm a lifelong resident. And, you know, I just think the way the downtown is changing, a lot of us are unhappy with it. So there's some great things and there's some bad things. And I just want to let anybody know, if you want to learn more about my campaign, to join me Monday night at Fuller Park from 5:30 to 7:30. We're going to have politics and probiotics. And I don't know if you know what probiotics are, but Triad Bevs, a new local non-alcoholic fermented company that makes these probiotic drinks, which are crisp, refreshing, and sparkling, just like a soda, but much healthier. And this is all sourced from local organic farms such as Long Meadow,
I need to ranch, wrap this up.
So big ranch farms and everything. So if anybody wants to come out and talk more about Visit Napa Valley or the Civic Center or future cannabis regulations or what they think, they want to come share your concerns and tell me what you think the Napa general plan should look like, please join me at Fuller Park from 5:30 to 7:30 Monday night.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you have a website for your candidacy.
VoteHinton.com, Facebook, James Hinton.
All right. And we're out of time. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me in.
The Candidate Profile Series. We're all out of time for today's KVON Morning Show. And up next, well, more great radio all day long here on KVON. I'll be back with you tomorrow, 6 to 9, each and every weekday. Stay tuned for more of the best from 1440.